the beat goes on, yeah. Standing on a hill in my mountain of dreams. Telling myself it's not as hard as it seems. Hajjad's LA, episode 8. I'm the coach. Lurk has been put on the physically unable to perform list with an ingrown toenail. Big week. Back at it. NCAA back at it full swing. Much better than the dud from the previous week. NFL, another cryptic week. And our team with a big 47-21 victory over the West Covina Bulldogs. League rival West Covina Bulldogs, a team that put it on us by 50 2 years ago, paid them back. Bunch crunch, bunch formation, toss all day. First play of the game, 80 yards. Next time we got the ball, ran it again, 60 yards. Couldn't stop it. Bunch formation, bring the X receiver down, the Z, and the other receiver, whatever you want to call him, the B, tight to the line of scrimmage, down, down, pull around, see ya. Great formation. Anytime you bring a defense in with a tight formation, it's good to run some kind of outside toss or some kind of outside zone because a D comes in, just run around them. And now we're setting up the toss pass. So Los Santos, if you're listening, we're going to throw the toss pass on you early. Just know they're not listening. That's why I can go be so bold and say that. So it's good. 4-1. Back at it. You know, 1-0 in league. Keeping the momentum rolling. NCAA. Coming off that stink over week from last week. A decent week this week. Start off Thursday night. VTech, Virginia Tech versus Georgia Tech. I don't know what the hell the deal is with Virginia Tech's helmets. They had like a stone look to them. It's obnoxious. These teams are obnoxious with the uniforms now. It's all look at me. It's look at me culture. It's all for recruiting. It's a decent game. Virginia Tech are just chronic underachievers. Always tons of talent, can never get it done. What's his name there? Jesse Palmer, the announcer, was blowing them, saying they have the best defense in the nation. I don't know how they can have the best defense in the nation if they're not even ranked. But they had the Hokie Stone helmets, which I guess is the replica of the stone that's used throughout campus. Great. Awesome. Georgia Tech's underachievers as well. I like Paul Johnson. I like the option. I like option football. But I can't for the life of me understand how a guy can call plays with no notes, with no nothing. Just call plays. And as you get older, as much as we don't want to admit it, as you get older, your mental functions slow down. And, you know, Paul Johnson's going to be in his 50s. You know, calling plays, you have to be on point. But he doesn't use any notes, nothing. Chronic underachieving team, 17-10 Virginia Tech. Other good games in the week. LSU, Georgia, great SEC game. Interesting game, too, listening, seeing Zach Mettenberger went to Georgia. His mother is Mark Richt, the head coach of Georgia's secretary. But Mark Richt threw Zach Mettenberger off the team for grabbing some girl's breast at a bar when he was a freshman. That's going to be an awkward situation. Your mom works for the guy, and then the guy throws you off the team. But he landed at LSU. Great game. Thought it was going to be more of a defensive struggle, but 44-41 Georgia. Mom, 14 years in the athletic department, just throws a kid off for, you know, a drunken incident. He grabbed, you know, over the clothes. What the heck? Boys will be boys. And then you got Les Miles. On the other hand, you got a guy like Jeremy Hill, who's a great back. Punched a guy from behind at a bar this past summer. From behind. And he was already on probation. Suspended from the team. But then he put it up to a team vote. They wanted to bring him back, and they did. Of course they want to bring him back. They want to win. The hat. Les Miles. Reading an article this week about his clapping style. He claps like a stiff finger. Saying he does that so he can produce more noise. Interesting. Yeah, I like to hang out with Les. Les is on the short list of coaches I would actually like to throw down a couple beers with. Speaking of which, another guy, Dana Holgorsen, head coach of West Virginia. Oh, same thing. Those West Virginia uniforms are obnoxious. Bright yellow. I saw on HDTV. But Dana Holgorsen, he looks like Matthew McConaughey on
meth. He's got that, you know, he's got that balding look. Looks like he's just a mess, disheveled. I was reading the guy had 6 alcohol-related incidents over a 6-month period in 2011. One of which, when he's the head coach of West Virginia, which is in Morgantown, West Virginia. He's living in a hotel in Morgantown, West Virginia. And he got banned from the bar at the hotel. That's going to be tough. Is he about walk of shame every time you go in there? You just kind of have to walk by the bartender. And first of all, you're living in a hotel. The guy's going to be a multimillionaire. Being the head coach of West Virginia, he's got to be one of the highest paid state employees. 6 alcohol-related incidents in 6 months. I didn't realize the AD at West Virginia was Andrew Luck's old man, Oliver Luck, Ollie Luck. Hogerson pounding Red Bull on the sideline unabashed. I think that's pretty cool. Broke his headset this week on the sideline. Add him to the list. Les Miles, Dana Holgerson. Want to party with you, fellas. Have you on the show in the offseason. Sit here and pound buds. Smash headsets. West Virginia 30, Oklahoma State 21. Other games. Oh, biggest news around town. How could I wait so long to bring it up? Lane Kiffin fired this morning. Unceremoniously taken off the team bus. They lost, 62-41 last night versus Arizona State. Pulled him off the team bus when they got back from the flight and fired him. Wouldn't even let him go back on the bus to campus. Amazing. There's got to be more to that story than just performance. Of course, I know a couple people who know Lane Kiffin personally, and they say he's a good guy. They question some of his coaching strategies and the way he does things, but they say as a person, he's a good person. You would think he would deserve better than that. They pulled off the bus and have to find a ride home. Pat Hayden. Begs the question, who do they bring? Who do they get? Of course, everybody's talking today they're going to bring in Jack Del Rio. I don't know. I don't think that's the answer. I don't think a pro retread is the answer. The college game is much different than the pro game. For example, a guy like Billy Belichick, I don't think he could be a good college coach. I don't think he has the personality. I don't think he has the bullshit in him. Does Del Rio? I don't know. Brings me into the twit bag real quick. From at walkoff HBP. Question, where does USC go from here? And where does Lane Bad Penny Kiffin turn up next? Second part of the question first. I think Kiffin ends up in the NFL as an assistant position coach, which is a hell of a gig. I don't know why these guys, I mean, you know, once they've already had the taste of head coach, and I can understand you want to be calling your own shots, but you know, it wouldn't be a bad gig to get $250,000 and be an assistant in the NFL. That can't be a bad gig, but he'll show up. I wouldn't be surprised he ends up as an assistant with Dallas. Where does USC go from here? Again, you hear Jack Del Rio. You hear Jeff Fisher. 2 NFL retreads. I don't think those are the answers. A few weeks back, we talked about it. Lurk had a pretty decent idea for once. He said Jim Tressel. I think Tressel's an East Coast guy through and through. But once you get out here in that warm California sun, who knows? He might be a good hire. How about the Sox, Steve Sarkisian up in Washington? What if they're going to try to get him down? Whoever it is, it will be big. It'll be a big splash. Knowing how USC does things. I'm just surprised they did it in the middle of the season. Again, who knows what kind of turmoil is going on. Why didn't they just fire him last year? They were preseason number 1 and they ended up 7-5. Why wait till the middle of the season? Well, this season's lost. They go ahead and they hire Ed Orgeron as a interim head coach. A couple guys I work with, longtime head coach at URI, Bob Griffin, knew Ed Orgeron very well, worked with him. Remember telling me, this is back in 2004, that Ed Orgeron was certifiably insane. This is a guy that wouldn't make stuff up like this. Said he was certifiably insane. He said he was crazy, man. I don't know. Maybe Orgeron ends up with the job. Who knows? Smart thinking, though. First thing he did, open the practices back up to the media. Get the media on your side. See, that's what one of the things Lane Kiffin did right away. Close the practice in the media. They're gonna not, they don't like you. They won't like you. You know what they'll do? They'll stop bashing you every chance they get. The fourth estate. Got to keep your friends closing enemies even closer. Other games. Texas A&M. Just a joy to watch. Johnny football. F the haters. Great game. Statistically, it wasn't one of his better games. Because they stopped throwing the ball in the second half. Because it started downpouring. They played ball control and they played it well. But Manziel, again, just makes watching college football fun. Which is, you know, a lot of people do the best that they can to take the fun out of the game. Texas A&M 45, Arkansas 33. In other NCAA-related news, Penn State had 5 scholarships restored. I guess they met the requirement for showing that they're in compliance with whatever it is the NCAA felt was the problem, other than the act of a few individuals. Well, I mentioned before I worked at Penn State, and you know I haven't talked about it on the show yet, but I guess now is as good a time as any. I worked with, while Sandusky was there, he would lift. I was an assistant strength coach, and Sandusky would work out 4 or 5 times a week in the morning. Early in the morning, he would come in, and you know, I got to know him a little bit. And you know, of course, you never think pederast. You never think, you never think child molester. But that guy was definitely a weirdo, no doubt about it. So when I did hear it, it wasn't like, oh my goodness, I couldn't, you know. No. The guy was odd. He was just goofy. Always, he's always screwing around. He's one of these guys that are always like, you know, of course, this is hindsight and might be a little bit of revisionist history, but he was always the type of guy putting hands on people, you know, one of those types. And I think that's what Joe saw. You know, Joe didn't look, he got railroaded. I'll come right out and say it. I just don't think Joe could comprehend what the hell was going on. It's McQuarrie's fault. McQuarrie, whom I used to drink with as well, actually knew him fairly well. We'd go out and hang out and drink. It's that freaking big goof's, freaking redheaded goof's fault. You know, he saw what he saw. If you saw something, you'd go to the cops. Well, you'd do something. But then he kind of half-asses with Joe. Oh, hey, I saw something going on. And Joe's thinking, hey, this guy, he was probably just horseplay. You know? Because that's what those types of people... Back, it's a different generation. It's a completely different way of thinking. Joe Paterno was a sheltered guy. The guy walked to freaking Penn State every day. Every morning. He didn't really, he drove a little bit, but, you know, no computer. His whole life was Penn State football. I just don't think he had any real frame of reference in something like that. You know, it was a night of a long gone era. I don't think he could understand. He probably thought, oh, he's just horsing around in the shower. Because that's the type of guy he was. But, you know, this stuff was investigated by the police in 97 before even the incident went down. It was investigated by the police. And they cleared him of anything. And you got to realize, too, people, oh, you know, if I had an employee and I thought anything was going on, I would dismiss him. He didn't even work for Joe at the time. Matter of fact, Joe didn't even like him. Just kind of got inherited with them. They had success, kept him on staff. But he didn't think Sandusky was going to be, well, what Sandusky wanted. He would only become the head coach, but Joe didn't think he got him head coach material. He's too silly. He's too goofy. He's a fucking weird goof. But one more story quickly about Sandusky before I shift gears. We used to, when I was working as an assistant strength coach, we'd have contests sometimes in the weight room. And we were doing what's called a VersaClimber machine, which is like a straight vertical. It's like a treadmill sort of, but it's straight up and down. And you use your hands with handles. So myself and another assistant strength coach. We're going against Paul Posluszny, who's a linebacker now for the Jaguars, and another guy, I forget his name, he's backup center. We were going at a competition. For some reason, Sandusky got involved and said he was, and someone said, hey, coach, be a judge. And he comes over, and he, you know, he says, I'm not set, go, we're going. The fucking petter ass kitty touches freaking talking shit on me. He's like, oh, come on, Puzz, how can you lose to this guy? He's a chump. You fucking piece of shit. We actually ended up beating Posluszny and the other guy. So fuck that friggin' petter ass. Hope he's getting in the freaking shower right now. But poor Paterno, rest his soul. Shouldn't have got all those games stripped. Shouldn't have been fired. Court of public opinion is swift and harsh. Now the evidence has come really out that, you know, what did Joe know? He reported it. What the hell? The guy didn't even work for him anymore. I don't know. But the thing, people all said, oh, Penn State's going to be crippled by these sanctions. No way. Football's too big of a deal in Pennsylvania. High school football is huge in Pennsylvania. Penn State is the, it's it. It's everything. They'll be back. They'll be 7-4 this year. They'll start getting scholarships back. They got that Bradenburg quarterback, whatever his name, freshman, true freshman, stud. They'll be right back at it in the Big Ten. They'll be winning the Big Ten in a couple of years. Showed them. Notre Dame, 21, Oklahoma, 25. Finally, a Notre Dame out of the top 25. Get rid of them. That pains me to say as an Irish Catholic fella. We'll prefer BC anyways, but Notre Dame, they have independent schedule and their elitism. A couple weeks ago, I don't know if anybody saw it, a couple weeks ago, somebody had a game day at Notre Dame. Well, I don't know if it was at Notre Dame, but it was somewhere. I think it was at Michigan, actually, Notre Dame, Michigan. Someone had a sign said, hi, Lizzie Seberg. Just another one of those Notre Dame scandals. Those Catholics, those priests, they know how to sweep things under the rug. But Lizzie Seberg was a student at nearby, what was it, some community college nearby. The St. Mary's College, wasn't a community college, but it's in Notre Dame, Indiana. Says she was sexually assaulted by a football player in August of 2010. School looked into it briefly, never named the player. And said, oh, the girls that gave conflicting reports. Never reprimanded the student. She ended up killing herself a couple weeks later. Notre Dame just swept it under the rug. Like nothing happened. Somebody had that sign. And of course, like I talked about before in the program, the kid going up on the scissor lifts and storm, hail, you know, gale force winds. Kid goes up to film a practice, gets blown off it and dies. And not a damn thing happens to Brian Kelly. Those Catholics got a hand to them. They know how to cover shit up. What else in the NCAA? That's it. Let's move on to the NFL. Good week. Before we get into the games, how about some of the notes in the NFL? How about the Ravens? Jacoby Jones gets hit in the head by a bottle by a stripper on a potty bus. Friend tried to get at the stripper, but Brian McKinney, of all people, stopped him. Brian McKinney, he who owes Trick Daddy's daddy $375,000 in unpaid strip club bills. Brian McKinney was in the Hall of Shame, I believe. Up to his own shenanigans with Trick Daddy's daddy. But Ray Lewis has to pipe up. Ray Lewis, now he has these glasses, these black rim glasses that probably aren't in prescription, thinks he makes him look smarter. Just because you have glasses on, Ray, doesn't mean you're an intelligent guy. He's saying the Ravens lack leadership in the locker room. That's a self-serving comment. Like to see, it was nice though, some of the Raven players shot back immediately. They said this shit would have happened if Ray Lewis was in the locker room or not. It's what they do, dog. They go out and they get strippers and parties. Brian McKinney, he of the Love Boat incident in Minnesota. Him and Fred Smoot and a few other guys, they got a boat and went out in one of the Great Lakes. I don't know which one. ended up having some kind of wild orgy on the boat. And I'm getting sued by somebody. Brian McKinney still kicking it up to old tricks. Jacoby Jones still uninjured, the injured list. Stiffed in the head with a bottle. Pac-Man Jones, namesake of Jacoby Jones, arrested again. Guess he was evidently he was in a car and he started popping off to a cop while intoxicated. Started cussing at the cop. I don't know if he got arrested, but he was reprimanded or he's fine. I think he was cited. Celebrating Pac-Man's 30th birthday in style. Nick Burleson, receiver for the Detroit Lions, broke his arm. It's like 1 a.m. he ran into a median, a divider, ended up hitting a tree, something like that. Broke his arm. Of course, the first thing you think he was loaded. Evidently, he was trying to save a pizza from sliding off his passenger seat. The pizza was sliding off. He went to grab it and lost control of the vehicle. Out for the season or out for the next 6 weeks or something with a broken arm trying to save a pizza. LT, Lawrence Taylor, firing off shots at Boomer Esiason. Boomer Esiason's got that same smug look to him. That Sean Payton look, that Todd Haley look, that I'm better than you look. But Lawrence Taylor firing off at Boomer Esiason. Quote, we can't stand each other. Let me give a little backstory first quickly. Boomer Esiason, evidently, and I haven't seen it, I'm kicking myself, was on talking about LT on that documentary that they made about LT that had been shown on Showtime. But I guess Boomer's heavily quoted in it. LT fires back, quote, we can't stand each other. First of all, Boomer's a dickhead. Hey, listen, I remember when he was out there running the streets, screwing all kinds of hoes. And I quote, don't give me that holier than now shit. Good for LT. Calling out Boomer for screwing all types of hoes. Boomer. the hypocrites, the talking heads, like Danny Marino there with his illegitimate kid. Always talking, you know, talking character issues and all those guys. It's a different mindset, different mentality. Like Billy Belichick, the Patriot way. Evidently, he had a mistress for years that he was paying off, bought her a condo and was stashing her away somewhere. Now it's his girlfriend after he got divorced. It's delusions of grandeur. All these guys, they think they're more important. They think they can get away with things. You know, they think they're special. Because we make it that way. Because if you're calling, you know, you're signing your autograph everywhere and people are telling you how great you are, it's got to affect you somehow. Bernie Kosar, DUI this week. Poor bastard. Bernie's got all types of problems. Poor Bern. Another sad piece of news in the NFL. LC Greenwood died today. Member of the famed Steel Curtain defensive end. Also known, I remember when a little kid from the Miller Lite commercials, the Taste Great, Less Filling commercials. They had a great one with Burt Jones, who was a quarterback for the Colts. LC Greenwood crushed a can. I forget exactly what he was, but he, sincerely, LC Greenwood crushed a can. And then Burt Jones, like, sincerely, Burt Jones. And then he couldn't crush the can. Yeah. Those Miller Lite commercials are great. I don't know why they don't bring that back. Taste Great, Less Filling. Iconic series of ads. Now we get stuck with beer ads from guys like Pitbull. Shit that doesn't make me want to buy beer. LC Greenwood, nicknamed Hollywood Bags. He used to say all the time, when Hollywood comes calling, I got bags packed and I'm leaving at a moment's notice. You really want to come out this way? I'm spending a couple nights in Skid Row. Hollywood Bags. So at least Mean Joe Green is the only member of the defensive line, Steel Curtain, still alive. Ernie Fat Holmes, who we highlighted on this very program. LC Greenwood. Shoot, who's the other one? Can't even think right now. It'll come to me. But Mean Joe Green's the only one still alive. LC Greenwood, dead, 67 years old. Look at the games. First game of the week, the Thursday night game. San Francisco versus the Rams. San Francisco looked like the team we all thought they were going to be, even though they're missing a couple of key players on defense. Patrick Willis didn't play. Well, Alden Smith, obviously. Missing someone else defensively, and they're missing those receivers, but they look good. What was that? The Rams just looked bad. Sam Bradford, forget it. It's over. You're never going to win with him. They need to bottom out. Well, shouldn't say that, but you know, they go out and get another quarterback. Sam Bradford's not going to win it for him. Another kick in the balls. How about Sam Bradford makes more money in one game than Kaepernick is going to make until December? All games combined till December. What's that? Week 15, 14? Bradford makes more in one game. Interesting. I didn't realize how much Al Davis supposedly wanted Colin Kaepernick. I guess he threw a hissy fit when San Fran traded up at the 11th hour to get Kaepernick. I guess Al Davis was really sold on him. Because he started smashing things. I don't know. St. Louis is struggling, though. They're selling face value tickets with an $84 face value for $27. You know, Schottenheimer's kid calling plays. Brian Schottenheimer, QB killer, taking the name from Warren Sapp. Schottenheimer's killing QB's career. Sam Bradford's adding to the list. How about the free kick in that game? It's a very seldom used rule. After a fair catch on a punt, you can take what's called a free kick. You can either drop kick it or kick it like a kickoff. And if it goes through the uprights, it's 3 points, just like a field goal. Very rare. You would only really do it at the end of a half or the end of the game. You know, because otherwise, if you're even going to be close enough to make a field goal attempt, you would take the field position and then you go ahead and try to kick the field goal. But yeah, free kick, missed it. Never see that. Kansas City, 31, Giants, 7. The Giants have 7 points in the last 8 quarters. I almost punched a guy in the face the other day at a bar I was at, telling me, oh, he actually wasn't talking to me because I think I would have spat in his eye, saying Eli Manning is a better quarterback than Tom Brady because he's 2-0 in Super Bowls. You fool. I was watching on the NFL game day mix when you got all those different games in the windows. Freaking hilarious to see. You know, no volume. I wasn't listening to the volume, but you could just see the Eli face every 15 minutes. Oh, those sucks. The team is in shambles. Good. Good riddance. KC, 31. KC, real deal, 4-0. You know, Eli Manning has 75 turnovers since 2010, which is by far and away the most in the league. Still freaking raises my rent anytime I think about those two Super Bowls. Because Eli has ability, no doubt about it. But he's not, well, obviously not anything like his brother at all. Talk about that game in a minute. Game I watched today, gave most of my attention to. Seattle-Houston. Seattle 23, Houston 20. Frickin' Seattle. And I like Russell Wilson so much. I like watching that guy play. He's a freaking winner. And he's the anti-fantasy quarterback. He was 12 of 23 for 123 yards. He had like 77 yards on the ground. But the guy is a winner. Reminds me of Doug Flutie. Same thing. Just a winner. Frickin' got lucky. Matt Schaub. Third week in a row, Matt Schaub throws a pick six. I don't like Houston's scheme, really. They pound and pound and pound, which I like. And then they just rely on the boot. And the boot's not there. Seattle sent an extra guy wide off the edge, right in Schaub's face. He just throws it up. They're up by seven with 2 minutes left. Two and change. Throws it up. Pick. Six. Ties the game back up. Losing in overtime. Fans are burning Matt Schaub jerseys after the game outside. Freaking Pete Carroll. Richard Sherman made that pick to tie the game. Chris Myers in one of the most outrageous comment today I heard in the games. Richard Sherman has followers, and not just on Twitter after he picked it off. What the frick does that even mean? Richard Sherman has followers and not even on Twitter. All right, real cute. Goddamn ESPN culture. Pittsburgh, 27, Minnesota, 34 in London. For some reason, the NFL is just enforcing this London thing on us. Read several articles about it this week. Doesn't they realize nobody will sign with the London franchise? Who's gonna sign with the London team? First of all, taxes over there are outrageous. Second of all, who the frick wants to live in London? If you're an NFL baller, you're looking for trouble. You're looking for strippers. You're looking for boats. You're looking for warm weather. You're not looking for bringing bad food and women with bad teeth. Why would you even sign? You wouldn't sign with them. I'm shocked that the Rooney family, Dan Rooney, who was ambassador to Ireland for 2 years, why the hell would he bring his team to England? The shit that the English have put the Irish through the years, you'd think he'd be a little bit more sympathetic to the fact. But he brings them over there and they lose again to Minnesota and the Ziggy Wolf-led Minnesota Vikings. Ziggy Wolf, he of being ordered to pay $85 million recently because of a scam he pulled off with his partners in a New Jersey complex. I don't know the details, but all I know is he's got to pay $85 million. So they put their new stadium project on hold. That's the team I keep eyeballing to bring to L.A. I just like that. It's going to ring to it. The L.A. Vikings. L.A.V. Got to get that Ziggy guy out of it. Matt Castle making a start for a third NFL team. Never started one college game. Starts for his third NFL team. Matt Castle's solid. Right situation, I think he can be a winner for you. I think Kansas City just blew up. Bad circumstances. When I watch Castle play, I think he's a decent quarterback. I think he's better than Christian Ponder. Doesn't turn the ball over. In the early games, there were only two quarterbacks who didn't. It seemed like everybody was throwing picks today. It seemed like every quarterback had two picks. Only two quarterbacks in the early games that didn't have picks. Brian Hoyer and Matt Castle. Both Tom Brady proteges. Speaking of Minnesota, Leslie Frazier, what a goon. What does he do? I don't think he says two words throughout the course of a game. In the week before, Leslie Frazier, in his infinite wisdom, went out and threw a challenge flag on the advancement of a punt. So a team muffs a punt. The team that punted can recover, but they can't advance it. But Leslie Frazier goes ahead and throws a challenge flag. You would think Leslie or one of his 22 assistants would know the damn rules of the NFL. But he was charged a penalty, which the NFL has changed that rule now. It's not they shouldn't have charged him a penalty. They should charge him a timeout. Changed that rule as of last year because of Schwartz and the Lions. Speaking of the Lions, he went out and beat Chicago today. Jay Cutler, 3 picks, first loss of the year. I think it's going to come down to the last game of the season between those two teams. I think Detroit is dangerous. Reggie Bush is finally coming into his own. I mean, there was a guy I thought had can't-miss potential, and he's finally. I mean, he's an every-down back. He's a three-down back. For some reason, in New Orleans, can never get going. I know he got hurt early in his career. They were you. They were spreading. New Orleans, shares the wealth. I think he's a guy that needs to have a serious commitment to getting the ball. 139 yards, touchdown for Reggie Bush. 3-1, Detroit. Battle of the Ohios. That doesn't make sense. Battle of Ohio. Cleveland, 17. Cincinnati, 6. What a dud by Cincinnati. Good for Brian Hoyer. Good for Cleveland. Mike Lombardi. When I made that trade, Cleveland's won 2 in a row. Cleveland Browns are one team in 8. I never really liked the Cleveland Browns uniforms, but I tell you what, they look sharp on HDTV. Something about that orangey-brown helmet and those unis, they look sharp on HDTV. And they look sharp today. Cleveland 17, Cincinnati 6. It's good to think Cincinnati went out and beat on Green Bay last week. Tampa. And the beat goes on in Tampa. Arizona 13, Tampa 10. Will Greg Schiano be fired in midseason? No, I don't think so. Let me take a sip of my beer. But this Josh Freeman thing's out of control. And Josh Freeman's not helping himself. Not showing up to meetings, basically pouting. What team's going to go and try to trade anything for Josh Freeman when he's already shown to be a malcontent? So they start the rookie, Mike Glennon. What a rube. That guy looks like a friggin' frat boy from UGA or something. Friggin' rube. Goes out and throws two picks. But they said, oh, Tampa, Greg Schiano is infinite wisdom. Said, oh, we're going to go out and run the ball. Dougie Martin, 27 carries, 45 yards. Yeah, I might want to try another strategy. Still play good D. And again, Schiano has the guys diving at players' knees at the end of the game when they're taking a knee. They're killing the clock. Diving at their knees. Arizona, missing Rashad Jackson. The guy who lost half his finger last week in the game. Got his finger caught in a face mask or something. Pulled off his glove. Finger stayed in the glove. He didn't play. Arizona, I just didn't, you know, one of the teams that's just up and down. You can't figure out these NFL teams. I'm only certain of two things right now. I'm certain Denver's freaking really good, and I'm certain Jacksonville's wicked bad. Other than that, I don't know what the hell I think about anybody anymore. Jacksonville 3, Indianapolis 37. Just fold the franchise. I know we've been talking about it. I've been giving too much of my zeros and ones, my airspace to Jacksonville. Just fold. Blaine Gabbert, 17 of 32, three picks. Things have gotten so bad in Jacksonville, they're offering free beer to people who bought tickets. You kidding me? I would freaking go. If they're offering free beer to a game, I'd go. I'd buy season tickets and offering free beer at each game. The late game. Well, not the late game. One more. The early game. Bills 23, Baltimore 20. Baltimore can't figure that team out. They go out and they stick at the Houston the week before. They go out and lose to E.J. Manuel. Well, Buffalo Bills and E.J. Manuel. 10 of 22. Look at this. 9 rushing attempts from Baltimore between Bernard Pierce and Ray Rice. And I only know that because the team I'm playing in fantasy. Poor fella had Ray Rice and Bernard Pierce as the flex player. 9 rushing attempts. Flacco, 25 of 50 for 5 picks. There's some symmetry to that. 25 of 50, 5 picks. You can reduce everything by 5. It's easy math for someone like me. Bills go out and run the ball 50 times. Big shock who won the game. Bills 23, Baltimore 20. Yeah, Bills playing good defense. The late game, the marquee late game, a game I thought was going to be a little bit more interesting than it was, and it was interesting, but I don't even know if it was for the reasons I thought it was going to be interesting. But Denver 52, Philly 20. This Denver team just looks like a juggernaut. You know, they're making everybody look bad. Peyton Manning looks like he invented the game, for crying out loud, at this point. And that pains me to say, oh, I'm not a big Peyton fan. I thought it was hilarious during the game. Peyton's doing all this, rah, rah, Omaha, rah, rah, 52 to Mike. I don't know what it meant, but one of the players from Philadelphia, one of the D tackles, I don't know who it was, stood up and was like, Papa Jones, Papa Jones. I don't know what he's saying to fuck with Manning or what, but it was hilarious. Chippa revolutionizing the game for a half in Washington. Oh boy, do they look average. Part of that's Denver, true, but they're not. You know, Denver's, I mean, Philly's not doing anything really special. Yeah, they're running plays quickly, but they're running inside zone, outside zone, some crossing routes, some bubble screen. Big freaking deal. The revolution will not be televised. Chip Kelly. I don't understand. He's got this play sheet in front of him on the back, all in just yellow, like a yellow highlighted back. It just says J2. What the frick would the significance of J2 be there? I'd have to take up They would have to hold this on the back of his paper. It's a J2. Not getting it done. Denver defense, and they're still missing Von Miller. They're going to get Von Miller back. They're going to get, who else? Champ Bailey back. Lost their left tackle, didn't miss a beat. Peyton Manning has 16 touchdowns and no picks. 4-0. Still like Michael Vick. Michael Vick's still dangerous. LeSean McCoy's is still dangerous, but they look like a JV team compared to Denver. How about Pam Oliver struggling on the sideline? It's like she was a stroke victim. This doesn't sound funny, but she couldn't even form a sentence. And Pam, honey, you aren't out there for your looks. Certainly. So she got to bring more to the table than that. She's been on Fox forever. I have no idea why. But she couldn't even get two words out of her mouth. Dick Stockton, same thing. Unfortunately, I ended up watching the Washington-Oakland game. Something about that Redskins-Raiders when they play. I don't know. I think it just reminds me of the first Super Bowl I can remember watching with Marcus Allen and, you know, when he made that zigzag run and ended up scoring that touchdown. He ended up beating the Redskins. It's the first Super Bowl I can cognizantly remember watching. So I like that matchup because I was always kind of like the Redskins anyways. But God, that was an awful football game. Matt Flynn didn't look good. It's two bad teams. Mike Shanahan on the sideline doing his best impersonation of a Redskin. Sunscreen, Michael, sunscreen. If you put a headdress on Mike Shanahan, he'd look like an engine. Bruce Allen, before the season, I remember reading in an article saying, oh, the NFC East is like the SEC of pro football. Yeah, I guess. The NFC is a laughing stock right now. But good for Oakland. Oakland needs to lose games. You know, Terrell Pryor is the only reason they could do anything offensively. McFadden's hurt again. So Oakland needs to lose games. Bottom out, get the pick. Screw it. They're not going to win anything anyway. Washington looking very, very average. RG3 and his Pop Rocks and Tootsie Pops. I don't know if you saw that video. I think I might have mentioned in the program. Him and his wife singing this original rap tune called Pop Rocks and Tootsie Pops, which I'm surprised they didn't even make more of a big deal of, because really that was a reference to, shoot, what was her name there? The girl killed her boy. Jodi Arias killed her boyfriend. They're saying for oral sex, she used to put Pop Rocks in her mouth and he used to use Tootsie Pops on her. So you got RG3 out there rapping a song about that. Nobody puts two and two together and says anything. But RG3 looking very average. Tennessee 38, Jets 13. Speaking of average, Geno Smith. Now we're going to be treated all day tomorrow at ESPN with Geno Smith's version of the butt fumble. Oh, ESPN, you're so funny. Always pushing the envelope, showing the stupid butt fumble. But Geno Smith tried to go behind his back with the ball like Rajon Rondo. Ended up hitting it off his ass and fumbling it. I don't know about that Geno. You know, he's got some skills, but I don't think he's the answer. Brings me into a second question from the twit bag. At Don't Forget Mac, does a decent season by Geno Smith save Rex Ryan's job beyond this year? Please say no. That's what it says. I don't know. I've come out and saying the praises of Sexy Rexy. I think he's a decent coach. I really do. I think players legitimately enjoy playing for him. I think he has a vision defensively. I think he saddled himself with bad offensive coordinators and not the right quarterback. But does this decent season by Geno Smith save Rex Ryan's job? I'd have to say no. I think they're looking to move from Rex Ryan. I think they're looking to go out and get somebody. So to answer your question, no, I don't think it's going to happen. I think Rex is gone. And I don't think Geno Smith ends up finishing the year. I think he either gets injured or Sanchez ends up coming back and playing. Might as well finish out the twit bag. And one more question at Maury Copson. Has the rest of the league figured out the Eagles' offense already? Or are the Eagles players still just figuring out how to run it themselves? Again, it's not math. I've said this before. This isn't math. This stuff is not that easy to figure, not that difficult to quote unquote figure out. There's no real trickery involved. It's about making blocks, making tackles, throwing the ball and catching the ball. So, look, I've said I like some of the things the Eagles do. I don't think it's a long-term solution. This is not Oregon. This is not where people forget Oregon has superior talent. Look, they might be the best team in college football right now. Oregon went all in on football with facilities, with whoever the freaking genius is in their marketing department to come up with this uniform of the week. It works. They get athletes. They get players. They end up getting the state-of-the-art facility. So they had players. So they come out and they smack people in the face. Boom, boom, boom. And in college, you smack someone in the face, it's over. It's early. You smack them in the face early, it's over. Pros is in the same way. They come right back at you, unless you're playing the Raiders or the Jaguars. They come right back at you. They have answers. So I don't think it's a matter of figuring things out. What I like about Chip Kelly is he has a clear vision of what he wants to do, and I think the players really like him. So I think he will be successful given time. But who knows? Chip might come out here to USC. That being said, pros get paid so much more than college. Why would he want to come back? All right, that empties out the twit bag. What else do I got for games? Well, only two more, one more game. Dallas 21, San Diego 30. Two teams I can't figure out again. Phillip Rivers looked good today. Phillip Rivers is a solid quarterback. What are you going to do? Mike McCoy, I think, is a solid offensive guy. Tony Romo looked good, all right. You know, I think those are two football teams that will be there at the end as far as getting in the playoffs. Will they win it? No way. I mean, it just seems like a no-brainer at this point. It seems like fucking Denver's going to win the AFC. And the NFC is wide open. Who the hell knows who's going to come out of the NFC at this point? Nobody looks like, you know, Seattle looked very average for most of the game today. What Seattle does offensively can be stopped. It's not, you know, it's not such a high-powered thing. You take away the run game, Seattle's going to struggle. Or at least they have shown a reluctance to put the ball in the hands of Russell Wilson and go out and throw the ball 40 times, which sometimes in the NFL you need to do. Can he do it? Sure. But it's not what they want to do for the most part. And right now, I'm recording. I have no idea what the score is of the Pats, Falcons. I'm sure anybody. Tonight's a historic night in television, by the way. You got the season finale of Breaking Bad. You got Pats Falcons. Well, I guess it's for New England fans. You got Pats Falcons. You have Kenny fucking Powers back for the final season of Eastbound and Down, which I'm very excited for. Might be the funniest show on TV. And then you got season premiere of The Simpsons and Family Guy, old standbys. Thank God for DVR. How did we do before DVR? VCR, I guess. But you can only record one thing at a time. Yeah, I'm recording all that. So I have no idea what the Pats Falcons score is. I'm going to put my head down. I'm not going to look at any, my phone or anything. There's always one jagoff who wants to text you. Like, oh, give you an alert. Can you believe that? Nope, nothing. Putting my head down. I'm going to drive home. I'm going to go watch the freaking Pats. And it's fun to watch on DVR because you can fast forward all the, through all the bullshit. Although sometimes it bites you in the ass because you get a little bit too greedy. And then boom, 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 you go fast forward four times the speed. And then all of a sudden you see, oh, touchdown. Then kind of takes some of the fun out of it. And you go back and you have to rewind it and go back and you already know what happens. But at least you don't have to listen to all the bullshit. And, you know, the games take forever too now. You know, and injuries and and reviews and these games take forever. Speaking of taking forever, I know I don't like to talk anything other than football, really, but baseball, Red Sox are in the playoffs, best record in major leagues this year. It means I have to watch baseball now. And I used to love baseball, but the older I get, it can be painful. I'd rather watch old people screw. It can be painful watching baseball games. But playoffs are here, so now just ruin the rest of my week. Football and baseball now. No escaping it. Although I think the Red Sox are going to end up winning the World Series. We shall see. As I'm complaining with the Red Sox hat on. And tomorrow night we got Miami, New Orleans in a battle of unbeatens. Should be a good game. Miami, I think, is real. You know, last week I said I don't know if they can overtake the Patriots. Yeah, they might. We'll see tomorrow. Well, after tonight and tomorrow, we'll see. But better picture of that. According to John Clayton, the top three teams that spent the most money this offseason in free agency are collectively 9-2 right now. I thought it was interesting. Miami, Indy, Indianapolis, and Tennessee. And speaking of Tennessee, losing Jake Locker, which primary reports are saying it might be a dislocated hip. Too bad. Jake Locker is always a guy I thought was really good. And I'm not just saying that he got out to a good season. I really liked him in Washington. He's got that, you know, he's athletic, kind of a gunslinger mentality. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Brett Favre. Of course, everybody was saying that at the time. But yeah, could be out. They say he might be out for a significant period of time. Too bad. Guy's starting to turn the corner. But 9-2 collectively, free agency. It's kind of the George Allen school of thought. George Allen, the old Redskins and a Rams coach, used to go out and make trades because it wasn't free agency at the time. But he would make trades for veterans. He wanted veterans all the time because he wanted guys who knew how to win. Poor George Allen. Final year, he was the head coach at Long Beach State in the second to last year. George Allen never had a losing season as a head coach. And Long Beach State was a terrible team, Division I team. And he promised them they would have a winning season. And they did. They ended up 6-5. In their last game, they ended up going 6-5. To have a first winning season in years after he promised that. After the game, they gave him a Gatorade bath. They dumped Gatorade on him. Well, I guess it was a cold day out. You know, it can get chilly out here in November and December in Southern California, believe it or not. After the game, he stuck around. He did interviews and all that and didn't change out of his clothes. Came down with pneumonia and died. Legendary George Allen. After a Gatorade bath at Long Beach State, and he promised them that they would go above 500. First time they did. The following year, after he was gone, they were 2-9. Well, yeah, poor bastard. A glorious career ended by a Gatorade bath. Ups and downs, the yin and yangs, the prolate spheroid bounces funny. All right, that's about it. You can follow me at Twitter. Follow us at Twitter at HardYardsLA. Also, if you want to email, it's be hardyardsla@gmail.com. You can get us on iTunes. You can also get us at Skid Row Studios. Hopefully, I'm going to go home now and see the Pats putting it on Atlanta and seeing Walter White walk away in Breaking Bad. All right, I'm out. I'll see you next week.
You are listening to Skid Row Studios.
I'm not doing it with you.
Please do it with me.
Fuck that.
Can you please have sex with me?
At Skid Row Studios?
At Skid Row Studios.
Maybe.
Okay. We'll be right back.
Hey, y'all, it's Thursday night, 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You done wasted your whole life already. You got nothing to aspire to. What else is another hour gonna take away from you? Tune in Thursday night, 9 p.m., Nestorius Public Radio. I'm Nestor Rodriguez.
This is Simon Kaufman with Nestorius Public Radio on SkidRowStudios.com. We're huge, bro. We're blowing up. We got a Facebook fan page, dude. Check it out, yo.
Nestorius Public Radio. Thursday nights, 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Go to iTunes. You know what to do. Look up podcasts. Look up Nestorius Public Radio. Subscribe. You know what I'm saying? Just do it.
We're going to have our own video game soon, bro. It's huge. It's blowing up. We're trending. We're trending. iTunes, new and noteworthy.
That's right. Busting it out.
Host of Psychic Every Day on SkidRowStudios.com. I come to you live on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock Pacific Time with a show about being psychic and all things psychic. You can call in during the show to get a reading. The number is 1-800-893-9562. And that is at www.SkidRowStudios.com. You can also find Psychic Every Day as a free downloadable podcast on iTunes.